The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. I was just reading this morning that Israel had carried out a test of the Arrows anti-ballistic missile system. The Defense Ministry actually acknowledged the test earlier this morning. It said that it carried out a pre-planned flight test of the Arrow anti-ballistic missile system, but they didn't say anything more than that. They didn't say whether the test had been successful or not. They didn't even talk about which version of the Arrow system was tested today. So apparently we're expecting to hear a little bit more about this later on. They did indicate that there would be more data released on the test, but really nothing more than that. I mean, the Arrows is really one of the most powerful weapons of its kind in the world. It's a system which intercepts incoming projectiles, whether they might be nuclear, biological, chemical, conventional warheads, and it tries to intercept them as close to the launch site as possible. And of course, the fact that they're anti-ballistic means that the interception takes place outside of the Earth's atmosphere. So very, very advanced system. It's been in development for more than a decade already, since 2008. The US has been involved in helping Israel to develop this as well. So we're interested to see whether more information might be released about this particular test. I think it's a very significant piece of Israel's arsenal. And of course, a successful test will be very important to make sure that we have all that we need to protect ourselves against the various threats that we have to contend with.
Absolutely right. The Haredi draft law failed to pass its first reading in the Knesset after members of and that was after members of the coalition broke ranks. That's quite unusual.
So this is really an embarrassment for the government. The fact that ultimately when the vote was taken yesterday, there were 54 votes in favor and 54 votes against. Obviously, a few people missing from the vote. A number of people specifically stayed away. There are also reports of quite a number of Knesset members tested positive with corona, and so therefore obviously in isolation, although there is interestingly an isolation chamber at the Knesset. You can actually still attend the Knesset while in isolation.
Right.
Put aside a special area for those people who need to be in isolation. But apparently the opposition leader, former Prime Minister Netanyahu, came specially to vote against this particular bill, and he, even though he had cancelled three speeches in the Knesset during the day yesterday, but he came along to vote, and he was the one who ultimately tipped it into this 54 each situation where there was no decision on the bill, and therefore it did not pass. What's really interesting was that a number of the Arab members of Knesset decided to vote against the bill, including a merits member of Knesset, an Arab member of Knesset, who had been obliged to really vote in favor of the bill along with the governing coalition. But she decided to vote against it, apparently as part of protest against the controversial citizenship bill that we discussed last week, which is still in the ministerial committee. But she apparently was protesting against this because she was just trying to make her own point against her own coalition, which of course has meant that this Haredi draft bill has not passed its first reading and will have to go back to the Knesset. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has said that he would like to bring it back to the Knesset as quickly as possible, because the Supreme Court has ruled that this bill must be passed by the end of this month. So there's only a couple of weeks left to get all three readings out of the way. What's really fascinating about all the political work that went on behind the scenes in the Knesset yesterday, I didn't want to use the word shenanigans, but I was just about to use it, because it really was political shenanigans. It was interesting that the Haredi parties are firmly against this bill, which would see members of the Haredi community drafted to the IDF under special conditions. They are very much against this. They do not wish to submit the Haredi youth to be drafted to the IDF. They then tried to enlist the support of Arab members of the Knesset. And interesting, some of the Arab members of the Knesset were going around saying they have absolutely no interest in ensuring that there are more soldiers drafted to the army. And wow, in fact, Mansour Abbas, who's the leader of the United Arab List, he was the one who actually voted in favor of this bill, and he was called out by another Arab member of Knesset saying, you should be ashamed that you are voting in favor of drafting more soldiers to the army. And of course, it was Aryeh Deri from the Haredi party, Shas, who said to the Arabs who voted in favor of the bill, if you guys are going to vote in favor of this bill to draft Haredi youth to the army, we will in turn recommend a bill to draft Arab youth to the army, who of course also are not obliged to serve in the IDF. So there was this backwards and forwards going on yesterday at Knesset, which is really some political unpleasantness to say the least, and really allows some of the worst possible character traits of the individual Knesset members to come out. But as things stand at the moment, it has not been passed. And it will have to be reintroduced to the Knesset. So it's not really only about all the drama that went on around this bill and the fact that the bill wasn't passed, but it's also around the fact that the governing coalition failed, as I understand it, for the first time to be able to pass a bill where they really had a three-line whip, where they were really insisting upon everybody supporting the bill in order to get it through. And that attempt failed. And so it shows just a little crack in the coalition, as we see it at the moment, which has surprised a lot of people in terms of the way that it's been able to function in spite of so many different factions coming together with so many different interests and coming together to create a governing coalition. Now we're starting to see just one or two little cracks appearing.
That said, Anthony, this is one of the most difficult aspects of Israeli society. It almost goes to the core of the different approaches between, that's never really been resolved in terms of what Israel is and what Israel's identity is. This really is, at the end of the day, all about that, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I mean, it encompasses both the Haredi and the Arab communities. You know, what you've said about the identity of Israel and how Israel identifies itself is true both in terms of the Haredi community, where do they fit on this particular spectrum, where so many factions within the Haredi community are anti-Zionist, yet they live in Israel. Some of them do take advantage of Israeli social opportunities and social benefits. Others do not, specifically do not, and yet live here and partake of the state to whatever extent is possible. And it also goes to the heart of the Arab community and where do they fit in to Israeli society. They're not obliged to serve in the army. They are entitled to learn in Israeli universities and hold down jobs and everything else that other Israelis are entitled to do. It's a little confusing. And the way that the members of Knesset present themselves, where they start to fight and say, you know, we shouldn't be supporting enlisting more soldiers to the army, is tantamount to treason in certain countries. If that's what's best for the safety and security of your country, then voting against it is almost treasonous. It's literally, it goes as far as that. So, you know, we don't really have the concept of treason in Israel because there would be so many people who would already have been accused and found guilty of treason. Some of the even the people, you know, within the Knesset, members of Knesset, who are theoretically elected to support the state of Israel and everything that it encompasses. And yet, the things that it encompasses seem to be very much at loggerheads with one another from time to time.
Yeah, Leslie says, my gosh, what a bunch of children. And Javi says, the cabinet are worse than children. So obviously that is how this is coming across. The press continues to be dominated, apparently, by the possible Netanyahu plea bargain. How is this coming along?
Well, you know, yesterday we spoke a little bit about how sensitive the issue of moral turpitude is. And we understand that more meetings have taken place with the Netanyahu crowd with their lawyers, members of their family, about what this plea deal means for them and whether they might not be inclined to accept it or not. And also lots and lots of discussion in the press about whether this is good for the state of Israel or not. What's interesting for me is a few things that have come out over the last day or two. First of all, it seems as if though the moral turpitude accusation is quite likely to be incorporated, included, accepted within any plea bargain. And what amuses me to some degree is that the moral turpitude issue is being discussed in terms of what it means about taking former Prime Minister Netanyahu out of the political environment, because a charge of moral turpitude and being found guilty of moral turpitude means you can't be a politician for 7 years. And apparently that's what the main issue is. It's not the smear that would be on your name to have been found guilty of moral turpitude. With that, we can deal. What we can't deal with is the possibility of being excluded from political life for 7 years, which is a consequence of being found guilty of moral turpitude. So I found that a little amusing and a sad statement about what's going on currently within this plea bargain deal. The other thing that has come to light is that because the plea bargain needs to be presented in front of a judge and to be ruled upon by a judge, there seems to be some discussion that the charges might need to be tinkered a little bit in order to make them fit the plea bargain. In other words, you can't come to a judge with substantial, really heinous accusations and then say, okay, this is the plea bargain deal that we've agreed upon, which doesn't really fit the nature of the accusations. On the other hand, you can't bring accusations which are found to be too minor, not significant enough in the overall scheme of thing, in order to reflect the situation, in order to also reflect that the plea bargain fits the crimes that he's been accused of. So apparently there's going to be some work now to try to tinker the accusations, which of course have already been filed with the court, but need to now be replayed in order to make sure that plea bargain, it's a bit like, you know, the cart coming before the horse, in a sense.
We decided
what the plea bargain more or less will be. Now let's tinker the charges to fit the plea bargain. It just sounds,
And to make everybody happy.
To try and find
the perfect balance, I suppose, to say that to make it justice real, has to been done.
Yeah, I mean, in Hebrew, we'd say it's afuch al afuch. It's like going backwards around a situation in order to come out looking okay then, which is very, very strange. And the last point that I wanted to make about this particular plea bargain deal that's in the offing at the moment is how the general public has reacted to the fact that the Netanyahu family have gone out on a fundraising campaign to raise money for legal fees associated with this particular case that he's defending. Now, apparently, he has already raised 2.6 million shekels, which is about $835,000, which is just
as long as he declares it. As long as he declares it.
Well, there's also some question as to whether he would be able to accept these funds while he serves as a member of Knesset. But let's just put this into context. According to Forbes that reported in 2019, former Prime Minister Netanyahu is worth 50 million shekels, $13.8 million. So he doesn't seem to be worried about where his next meal is going to come from. And it certainly appears on the face of things that he could probably afford these legal costs. And yet he's found it necessary to go out publicly raising funds, and unashamedly, it's all done out in the public eye, raising funds, and individual Israelis contributing towards this campaign, as well as obviously some wealthier
Israelis, probably a lot poorer than he is. Absolutely
very
crazy
strange.
Story.
Very strange.
It is after 8, Anthony Wright. Thank you, as always.